Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Communist Vietnam has begun a new military drive against its neighbor and longtime rival, Cambodia. In some quarters, the drive is described as a major action. But Peter Collins reports that that's not the way the situation is viewed in Thailand.
Well-informed intelligence sources here in Bangkok are discounting reports from Washington of a major Vietnamese drive into Cambodia. The reports first broadcast on the Voice of America and attributed to U.S. officials said that some 60 to 80,000 Vietnamese troops were involved in an operation that extends as far as 40 miles into Cambodia. But the sources here say that while there was heavy fighting a few miles inside Cambodia last week, it was not on the scale of the Vietnamese invasion last December. These sources say the Vietnamese did, however, use tanks, artillery, and American-made F-5 jet fighters in strikes around the Mee Mo rubber plantation near the border and north of the Parrot's Peak. This fighting is described here as limited to border areas and to consolidate Vietnamese enclaves that have existed for some time inside Cambodia. Hanoi has reported heavy Cambodian casualties in that fighting. Radio Phnom Penh has not commented directly, except to say that Cambodia has crushed a Vietnamese plot to topple its government. Peter Collins, CBS News, Bangkok.
Two American correspondents showed up at a Moscow court this morning to hear charges brought against them yesterday. Bernard Redmond describes what happened.
Craig Whitney of the New York Times and Hal Piper of the Baltimore Sun appeared at a brief preliminary hearing in a Soviet judge's chambers. It lasted only 15 minutes. They were told to provide written defenses against the charges by Friday and to appear in court for a formal hearing on July 5th. Piper described the atmosphere.
It seemed very businesslike, almost antiseptic, very formal. There was no emotion at all.
The action was brought by the Soviet state television and radio. It demands that the two American newspapers publish retractions of the correspondents' articles. It accuses the newsmen of writing slander, denigrating the honor and dignity of members of the TV and radio staff. Whitney and Piper had quoted sources close to the family of a Georgian dissident as saying they believed his confession was fabricated. This is the first time in memory that Western journalists in the Soviet Union have been subject to court proceedings for their writings. Bernard Redmont, CBS News, Moscow.
American businessman Francis J. Crawford, released yesterday after 2 weeks in the Moscow jail, still faces possible trial on charges of currency violations. He remains technically in custody of the American ambassador, but is free to move about the Moscow area under Soviet surveillance. Several Soviet Pentecostalists have begun a sit-in at the American embassy, and they say they'll stay there until Soviet authorities permit them to emigrate to the United States. They complain that they are not allowed to practice their religion in the Soviet Union.
Talk about economy cars. At Datsun, we build them as if we had to buy the gas.
Nobody demands more from the Datsun
B210GX, 40 Highway 29 City with optional 5-speed. These are EPA estimates. Your mileage may differ. But Datsun demands more. Our B210GX runs on quality. The front wheels never need caster and camber alignment in normal use. A steel pan protects the radiator. And for performance, Datsun engineered a dual-stage electric choke. We didn't have to be so demanding, but then we are Datsun. We are driven.
Nobody demands more from the Datsun than Datsun.
Check out the quality of a B210GX at your Datsun dealers today.
Princess Caroline of Monaco is getting married there today to French businessman and playboy Philippe Junot. Tom Fenton sets the glittering scene.
Greek supermillionaire Stavros Niarchos' splendid white yacht, the Atlantis, lies glistening in the sun in the tiny harbor below. The guest list of the elegant hotels on the Heights, the old Hotel de Paris and the flashy new Lowe's, are studded with jet-setters, aging movie stars, and dethroned royalty who have received a small number of invitations. But the citizens of this postage stamp principality, slightly over 4,000 adults and children, will have to watch the wedding ceremonies later on television. Both marriages, the civil marriage today and the religious ceremony tomorrow, are strictly private affairs and will take place behind the palace walls. Friends of the family say the main reason for the privacy is Princess Grace's bad memory of her own wedding in the same palace 22 years ago, which hundreds of newsmen turned into a wild media circus. This time, if the palace guards can help it, no newsman will get within several hundred yards of either ceremony. Prince Rainier has even banned flights over the principality at less than 5,000 feet during the next 2 days, in case adventurous paparazzi might think of photographing the events from above. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Monte Carlo.
Two gunmen, apparently Basque guerrillas, today shot and killed a newspaper editor in Bilbao, Spain. The editor had maintained that negotiations between the Spanish government and the guerrillas were out of the question. The gunmen escaped. A bomb went off at a government office in Vitoria, the Basque provincial capital, causing extensive damage, but no casualties are reported.
Datsun builds a lot of wagons, and everyone is a lot of wagons.
Nobody commands more from a Datsun than Datsun.
Only Datsun brings you this complete fleet of economy wagons. The front-wheel drive F10, the luxurious 810, and now the perfectly sized Datsun 510, the best all-around Datsun wagon yet. With power front disc brakes, reclining buckets, steel-belted radials, five big doors, and room for the whole kit and caboodle. When it comes to choice, when it comes to quality, come to Datsun. When we build a wagon, we lay down one law. It better have room for everything, except improvement.
Nobody demands more from a Datsun than Datsun. We are driven.
Come check out the big wagon selection at your Datsun dealer today.
The Federal Trade Commission is expected to vote today on a proposal to put labels on home appliances indicating how much it might cost per year to operate them. Richard Roth has details.
The proposal covers 13 major categories of home appliances, including refrigerators, kitchen ranges, air conditioners, and TV sets. Each would be required to carry a label estimating yearly energy cost, an estimate of how much it's likely to cost to operate the appliance for 1 year of normal use. The label would also help consumers compare energy costs among different brands or models of the same appliance. But as with gasoline mileage ratings on motor cars, the appliance labels would point out that actual costs will depend on your utility rate and how you use the product. The labels are intended to encourage consumers to save energy by considering energy cost as a factor when deciding which brand of appliance to buy. It may also save a little bit of the consumer's energy. One provision requires that the labels be easy to remove without using tools or special solvents. Richard Roth, CBS News, Washington.
The House Post Office and Civil Service Committee today examines a proposal that would limit the preferences granted veterans in getting government jobs to 15 years after the end of their military service. Lee Thornton reports that administration officials believe they have the votes for approval.
The White House is hopeful that a telegram signed by some unlikely allies, including the American Veterans Committee, the Business Roundtable, Common Cause, and the National Urban League, among others, will convince committee members that there is wide acceptance of the idea of a limitation on veterans' preferences. Civil Service Commission Chairman Scotty Campbell, who is the administration's key spokesman on the issue, talked about the reasons for the optimism at the White House.
There's 25 members in the committee, we feel confident that we have 10 or 11 solid votes and 4 or 5 votes that are leaning in our direction. 13 votes is enough to win, and as you know, we narrowly lost it in the Senate, a win in the House committee would, I think, start the momentum up again and help us very much on both the floor of the House and the floor of the Senate.
If the legislation passes committee later today, it will provide a boost, if only a small one, for a White House that's having more than its share of troubles getting its legislation through Congress. Lee Thornton, CBS News, the White House.
The president suffered another legislative setback yesterday when the Senate voted against giving him the authority to increase import fees on oil. Mr. Carter had been hoping to use that power as a means of forcing action on his comprehensive energy program, and he particularly wanted action in advance of the Economic Summit Conference that he'll attend next month in Bonn. Now it seems highly unlikely that he'll get it. White House aides described the president as pretty disgusted. The Supreme Court has just handed down a decision in the Bakke case. Fred Graham reports from Washington.
The Supreme Court has decided the long-awaited Bakke reverse discrimination case by declaring illegal an affirmative action program at the University of California. The decision came in the case of Alan Bakke, a white man who had claimed that he had been denied admission to medical school after non-white students with lower test scores were admitted. The Supreme Court declared illegal the affirmative action program under which Bakke was turned down. The court said rigid quotas that exclude all whites amount to illegal reverse discrimination and are illegal. It ordered Bakke admitted to the medical school at Davis at the University of California, but it said that race can be taken into consideration in some affirmative action programs, so not all affirmative action programs have been declared illegal. So the Supreme Court has decided its first reverse discrimination case by holding that rigid affirmative action quotas that rule out all whites for consideration are illegal. Fred Graham, CBS News at the Supreme Court.
Fidel Castro said last night in Havana that he'd like to meet with President Carter to resolve differences between Cuba and the United States. But the Cuban president added that Mr. Carter must take the initiative. The U.S. dollar touched still another low point today on the Tokyo foreign exchange market, 203.80 yen, but it closed about 1.5 yen above that. The dollar opened lower on the markets in Western Europe.